The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Wednesday morning, and welcome to a middle of the week edition of Analyze This. It's the Hump Day edition here on your NPR station, the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM 93.1. It's a gorgeous day in paradise outside, and we got two distinguished Virgin Islanders to start me off the show this morning. The Virgin Islands Board of Education is in the house, board members. Winona Hendricks and Terrence Joseph are here. Looking forward to talking with them about education in the territory. And then at 9, Zach Zook, that's the guy from the 81C studio, art studio over there in St. Thomas. Him and an artist from Tortola, Tia Grimm, let some going to be joining us to talk the arts. And I'm assuming they probably got a display at the 81C studio down there in Charlotte, Mali. So, let's get right to it. It's an honor of mine to introduce both of you. Educators, influencers before the new influencers existed on social media. Terrence T. Joseph and, of course, Dr. Winona Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, good morning. How are you?
First of all, yes, thank you so much, Senator James. It's Winona A. Hendricks. I haven't earned that distinguished title that you gave to me, but I appreciate the intention and all of the work and practices.
You haven't earned one title since you wanted to be combative.
Yeah. I don't have a doctorate in education degree. I tried several times. However, I was caretaker for my mom, and that, you know, I just couldn't fulfill that particular dream.
Okay. Yeah. Winona Hendricks, glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
Terrence T. Joseph, former superintendent, my boss. What's up, man? Mm-hmm. We were talking about you this weekend.
Okay, fine.
Glad to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Good morning. Buenos dias. And you know, we're getting a chunk of our Haitian student. Bonjour, Jean-Enfant Haïti.
Uh-huh.
So we are welcoming them because we know this community has been showing a lot of data she has collected, and we have shared those type of things. So we don't want to be any problem where you cannot come to the Board of Education because you have a lingua problem.
It's my understanding that we have another board member or a department employee, a division employee. Good morning. Who's on the line with us from the Board of Education?
We are the board.
No, I got somebody else. Good morning.
I'm sorry.
Yes, good morning. This is Mandy Sekou calling from the Capitol.
Okay. Good morning.
You got me.
But with another power outage, that means the school in my neighborhood is also out of power.
No, but to you bragging about the Capitol, man. So, you know what I mean? Good morning, board member Sekou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Senators?
I'm doing well. So thank all three of you for making some time to join me and the audience here on Analysis this morning.
Excuse me, Senator.
Yeah, go ahead. Neville.
Neville.
On a first name basis, I will yield.
Okay.
I will yield. So Neville.
All right. Yeah. I neglect to mention the victory here on St. Croix to young man, Mr. Zero Grail, from Unity River School, who placed first in the Spelling Bee, and he will be a Virgin Island representative.
That's what I'm talking about.
In Washington, D.C.
Okay, good thing. I like to hear that. Before we go on, can you list for the audience the other members of the board? Just so that they don't say that you come and they mention them. So I can,
well, we always do that. So it's not when we get a chance.
Okay. Let me get it out of the way. Right,
talking about
that.
Okay. The chairperson is Dr. Kaiser A. Carlwood, mm-hmm. our vice chair, and he's from the St. Thomas, St. John district. Our vice chair is Emanuela Perez Cassius, St. Croix district. St. Croix district, our secretary is Shauna K. Richards. We also have Judy M. Gomez, St. Thomas District, Era Lockhart, Era C. Lockhart, St. Thomas District, and Nandi Siku is on the line from the Capitol, as she said. And then I think we've covered all the St. Croix members. However, we do have a missing member from the district, St. Thomas, St. John District, a person who represents the school, the territory at large. It's somebody from St. John, and we're very concerned about that because you have eight men or eight persons working when really it should be nine of us assuming all the responsibilities.
How do we go about filling that?
I think the responsibility belongs to the governor. The governor is the person who would nominate and send the name down to the legislature.
Okay. That's... I'm trying to think.
It's just like having any other board that's missing members.
Okay. But aren't all board members elected?
Yes.
So in this case, Senator Bolquez, he vacated that position, right?
Yes.
That is correct.
So the governor has the ability to appoint someone?
Yes.
Or they would have to go through the appointment and nomination process?
They would have to be confirmed by the legislature.
In lieu of an electoral process?
Right, yeah, because in the VI code, it says once there is a vacancy on the board, then the governor would have to nominate someone, and then, of course, they would have to go through the advice and consent of the legislature. And I think the problem has been, you know, getting someone from who is a resident of St. John who wants to go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone who was nominated by the governor, but that person withdrew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the process may have to start again with, you know, the governor trying to seek and find a viable candidate from St. John. You know, but this year is also an election year for that person. So maybe someone would run for the seat in the upcoming election, or, you know, we don't know what will happen.
Okay. Well, hopefully we could get somebody to actually fill that position in the interim until the election process actually sees that out. So before we get to school surveys and all that, how's the board, Ms. Hendricks, in your estimation? How long you been a member of the board now?
Since 2008.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm very pleased with the service that I've provided, and I've had an opportunity to work with some very talented individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in my estimation right now, we are holding our own. We have several committees on the line. You have Nandi Siku, who's responsible for certification, reviewing the profiles, resumes, etc., of persons who would like to be teachers or administrators, librarians, etc., in the system. And I think her committee does a good job in reviewing the candidates and our trying to get them certified as quickly as possible, because we know that the schools need those particular individuals. Then we have the Policies, Rules, and Regs Committee, and they're responsible for providing guidance, because we leave a lot of the interpretation or carrying out implementation of the policies to the school principal, and that's Emanuela Perez. Then we have the public-private liaison, that's Era Lockhart. And you will see many press releases from the board about VI History Month or, you know, Black History Month or anything else, for example, suicide concerns that the boards may have. So that committee is trying very hard. Again, that missing person makes a difference. And then you have the School Plant and Facilities Committee, which I'm responsible for. And I have the consistent assistance of Terrence T. Joseph, the chair as a member, and then Member Saku and Member Lockhart always come in and they try to assist us with the process. So I think we're doing our work. We're a little, I'm going to keep saying it, I think we're shorthanded. We could do more, but we are holding our own.
Member Joseph, how long have you been on the
board? As long as we know that.
I came out together, same class?
Yes.
Same class, 16 years. Mr. Ku, how long have you been on the board?
Yes, 16 years also.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I like, you know, I like that because I got continuity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some people might, you know, absolutely, have a problem with it. Okay. I like to call radio shows and all that stuff, but the reality is stability and continuity is valuable.
Mr. Jane, you could say, because remember a few years ago, Senator Uzi Richards had changed the whole way. So only two of us per election.
Yeah,
so this year.
Staggered representation.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I want to say something. I applied for a grant back in 1983. I never got a response. Okay, we're going to college and board education. Used to make my words. But I want to thank the board because when you don't pay back, they'll put your name in the newspaper. So
we haven't done that in a long time.
I know.
Really would help if people who owe the board some money would pay it because then it's given to other.
That's still available to Virgin Islands graduates.
Yes.
How big is that fund now, Ms. Sikku?
The last cycle we gave is $1,500 grant and $1,500 loan. So it was a total of $3,000. We had raised the amount because we realized, you know, the cost of an education is much more now. And we know, even though that doesn't cover all of the costs, that, you know, it helps a great deal. And, you know, at UVI, they do have the free tuition, but that's just tuition alone.
Mm-hmm.
The students still have fees. They have books. If they want to stay on campus, there's room and board. So a college education is quite expensive. And so we try to make sure we raise that amount. We were also able to get the COVID scholarship, the coronavirus scholarship, again for that last cycle. We don't know if we're going to get it this year. And for that last cycle, it was $1,500.
How many students in the most recent graduating class in 2023 received this combination of $3,000? To your knowledge, ballpark figure, doesn't have to be the exact amount.
Yeah, it would be about 600 students.
Mm-hmm.
That was the capacity in terms of the people who applied. Now, not all of the students would accept it because some students do not necessarily want a loan. So sometimes they object, refuse the money outright. Or some students, they would accept it and just pay back the loan right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how that works. But in terms of our applicants, and that's between both districts, you know, we had a total of about 600 students.
$1.8 million. Don't make a handle that, Terrence Joseph.
What?
The total, when I do the math, 600 times 3,000, $1.8 million.
Yeah.
That's a drop in the bucket as it relates to the value of education and supporting it.
Right.
But we need to get additional funding.
Of course. Don't be afraid to talk loud about that.
No. I am never afraid when it comes to money.
No, man. No. When it comes to educating our children,
we never take a backward
step. No, sir.
We always step forward. when it comes to our children.
That's what we're talking about. So,
right. But in addition to that, Neville, we also have, you know, special scholarships that
students
are eligible for based on a major. Like you have the nursing scholarship, that's $5,000. You know, off the bat, you have some educational Karen scholarships Marks, that are varying amounts and so forth.
Wilbon Smith, Nick Friday.
Who's the executive director now? Who running the agency?
We have an interim executive director. Her name is Sandra Best. We do have advertisements out for individuals who would like to be the director of the board. But Sandra Best has that
Dr. Berry used to be executive director one time, right? Stephanie
Correct,
Berry?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
But I want to give some credit to the associate executive director. Her name is Samantha Prentice. So those two.
Yeah, Ms. Prentice. Yeah. Pull on the microphone. Put on a microphone so I get close.
Oh, okay.
Ah, there we go. That's what I talked about. So, board education, a lot of questions. What's the biggest issue for the board right now? The primary area of need for the Virgin Islands Board of Education right now? Is it in resources? Is it in policy? You know, if you had one big need that we could fix overnight, what would that be?
Increase of funding.
Okay. Primarily for
Terrence.
Increase of funding to increase the scholarship for the children that we now serve.
Oh, we're talking about for those who graduate.
No, we're talking about those who are not coming in and those who are now in school.
Oh, okay.
I would say the authority and the responsibility to carry out our duties. For example, I know we're going to talk about it later, but as we look at the student scores on the Smarter Balance, we frequently collaborate with the department and other laboratories, et cetera. My biggest concern is the ability to begin to change those scores. Those scores don't honestly express the performance and the talent of the students that we have in the Virgin Islands. So sometimes we're not our advice is not, you know, heeded, or sometimes we're not even in the loop when critical decisions are being made. So I would say influence, and I know Terrence always speaks to the board having authority to be responsible for hiring and firing the superintendents. So it's different issues.
Well, we're gonna have fun with that one. from your perspective, Mr. Koo, what's the biggest need right now? In addition,
and our biggest problem is, of course, having more governance over the educational system. We need to be able to have more influence in terms of, you know, affecting the delivery of education, which we don't have. We're not set up like these stateside boards in terms of being able to run the day-to-day operations of the schools. And so, therefore, that is a hindrance. Presently, right now, the governor, you know, he selects the commissioner. He also selects the superintendents and so forth. So,
Hold on there 1 second. Let's take a break. Mm-hmm. We'll pick up the discussion there because I want to speak about that a little bit more to give the public a feel of the distinction that you referenced with how we're structured here in the Virgin Islands compared to the mainland. We'll take a break. We got the Board of Education here in the studio and on the line. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
There are many complex issues that arise in our territory.
Comes with the territory with Leslie Comision.
Join me, Leslie Comision, for a breakdown of political issues facing our territory, one conversation at a time. I'm here to be the voice you can rely on for information that is straightforward and comprehensive. Tune in to be a part of the discussion. It all comes with the territory.
Comes with the Territory airs Sundays at 1 p.m. and re-airs at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here. Analyze this. The Board of Education is in the house. We got Terrence T. Joseph, board member Winona Hendricks, and board member Nandi Siku is joining us from the Capitol on Zoom from us. Good morning. Good morning to all three of you, distinguished Virgin Islanders.
Good morning.
Yeah. So, Dr. Siku, when I was younger, you know, before I started paying attention to
politics.
Yeah, politics and structure of government. We get a lot of news out of New York City, and one of the highest ranking positions in the city of New York is the superintendent of schools. Mm-hmm. I think his name is Joe. Mm-hmm. His first name is Joe. I forget what his last name is. It was Hispanic. Okay. Like Rodriguez or Fernandez or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And we've never had that structure here where the Board of Education selects the superintendent of schools for a respective district. Everything is structured within the power of the governor of the Virgin Islands, right? This predated...
That's correct.
This predated the current governor, so I don't want the governor or his people to think that we're talking about he decided on, this is not you. You inherited it. But it's been a desire, right? And for whatever reasons, the legislature, you know, when we wanted to move, one of us wanted to move to do that something radical. Somebody had authorship, and mm-hmm. you know, they're talking a big game, but they don't really have the will. You know what I'm saying? To do that. Let's say that scenario were to play out, what would be the biggest difference? I want to get all three of your opinion. Let me start with Mr. Koo. What would be the biggest difference if the board had the ability to select the respective superintendents from both districts? I got to make sure I speak perfect English this morning because I got you educators here in the studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But before we even go there, just to put things in historical context, the whole appointment of commissioners and superintendents dates all the way back to the governor generals when they wanted to have total control of the islands and, you know, what happened here. And so, and it seemed like it just continued, and no one has the political will yet to change that. Because when you look at it, the Department of Education has perhaps the biggest budget, you know, in the Treasury of the Virgin Islands. And so that is a lot of control and that is a lot of power. Now, what it would look like and the difference it would make if the board was, in fact, able to select the superintendent, just like our, you know, stateside counterparts, because when the Board of Education here locally was created, they basically tried to set it up as our stateside counterparts. However, the power and authority did not lie with the board in selecting a superintendent. I think it would give more transparency and accountability in terms of how the department operates. Sometimes you need to have that diversity in ideas and creativity. Presently, you know, you have a commissioner who is selected by the governor and also the superintendent. And so all of them work with, you know, it with what the governor may have in mind in terms of vision for education. There are really no checks and balances there. So when you have a superintendent that's selected by the board, then you would have a difference in terms of someone being able to come to the table with different ideas, not necessarily to be in conflict with the commissioner, because the commissioners are really persons that, you know, are policymakers, where the superintendents are supposed to be the person that run the day-to-day operations of the schools. So you would still have where they will be working together jointly to carry out the same goals and purpose. But what it would mean, though, is the board with the elected members would have more of a say. It is always a confusion to our colleagues in the states. Well, how is it you're an elected board, but yet still you don't have this authority? It's kind of unheard of. And so that would be part of the difference, is being able to have more of that transparency and accountability when it comes to the delivery of our educational product to our students.
Member Joseph, your take on this?
I have been advocating, I have been stating, everybody on the board knows that I believe that the board should hire and fire a superintendent. The authority to run the school should be given to the superintendents. The board will be in charge of it. And I say it will make a remarkable difference. Like Member Sekou just stated, I'm ashamed sometimes when you ask a question about, oh, the board? They send things to us because they figure we run the show. We don't. So basically, our senators too think that, oh, the court gave you the authority to do so and do so. But the court doesn't give us the authority to hire and fire the superintendent.
So I get blamed for the power I don't have.
That is correct.
Absolutely.
I went on Hendricks. I'm assuming you're in concurrence. Even though assumption is not a good thing.
That is absolutely correct, too. I have had different views with the board members because of the small numbers of the board. We have 9 members who would have such a tremendous responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I have changed, and I'm shifting in my view, and I'm seeing that...
Pull a microphone down.
We would have persons who would bring pedagogical or educational practices.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to apply. We're going to have the ability to choose from a cadre of individuals who are focused on best educational practices. That's the one difference that I think would mean a lot to the Virgin Islands. Also, I think we would lose the political influence somewhat. Now we have persons who are selected because they work or they're committed to a particular political individuals. We would look at the best, and regardless of political influence, we would select the best persons. Also, we are now looking for persons who come in with goals, and they're going to tell us about learning outcomes. Sometimes you don't necessarily have that in the system that we're working with now. So I'm looking at it from an educational standpoint. Bring educational practices, bring educational goals, and you have to bring outcomes, learning outcomes, in order to continue to work that job. And that's where the board would come in. If you're not meeting the guidelines, the objectives, the goals that you said you would be able to do in 2 or 3 years, it would mean that the board would make some critical decisions. So I am shifting in my thoughts on this particular matter. And accountability, I totally agree with accountability, transparency. The community would then hold us, the board, responsible for the educational practices. And if we're not doing what we say we're going to do, it means that we too, based on the community's wishes, would have to look for another seat. We would be ousted out.
Well, you know, you can't have it both ways, mm-hmm. right? If in fact you're getting blamed for literally being a powerless entity as it relates to the most critical hiring in the department, right? Then at some point you have an argument going into every re-election, which is, you know, you're electing me to be on the board, but I really don't have the power, or we don't have the collective power to do what we need to do, right? So you have a built-in excuse. But mm-hmm. if you want that power, then you don't have that excuse come election time. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I think the superintendents need to have that power. As a matter of fact, the only thing that they tell us, the only thing constant in life is change, right?
Yes.
But yet we don't want to change that structure. So you can't, you're undermining that principle. But, you know, I don't want to harp on that. That's a belief based on the individual. And you're making do with the best that you have. Now, let's talk curriculum. Let's get to the main issue here that the board is responsible for. Please explain that responsibility, Terrence Joseph, to the listeners. As it relates to curriculum, what is the board's primary responsibility, and how do you go about enforcing what the Department of Education is supposed to carry out pursuant to a board directive?
Yeah, well, there we go again. There we have this confusion mm-hmm. as to who should be carrying out certain things.
Yeah.
And, and that's what I keep saying all the time. Give the superintendent the job.
Mm-hmm.
And let it be there. As long as you have this person saying something, this one is in charge of this, and it is not going to give us the...
Well, let me stop you right there. So, for example, when you know us lay folk out in the community were hearing Common Core, that's a Board of Education. That was a Board of Education decision, or that was a Department of Education decision.
That was the state Department of Education, mm-hmm. but it came also, you know, from their school board. But locally, what we do is we adapt the curricula. That's what it says in the VI code, and that's what Member Joseph was saying, because, you know, at certain points, we thought that, you know, we were actually the one to propose the curriculum, and that we were clearly put in our places you know, at some place along the line, that had changed. And so we were told, and then when we went and we looked at it, that we are just to adapt the curricula. So again, the department is the one who proposes it and provide us with the curricula. And then we decide, of course, we have input because the...
Let me stop you right there. Are you saying that the law says that the department suggests to the board what a curriculum is supposed to be, or is the board? That's the structure. That's the process, or is the board responsible for looking at appropriate curriculums that will that they believe best suits the children of the Virgin Islands? How does that go?
We do that too, because we try to make sure we analyze what they propose in comparison with what the best practices are. So we do look at the other curricula in, you know, different areas, mostly the Northeast state, because that's where we tend to, the group that we tend to be aligned with.
The
VI code clearly states, you know, that, you know, we adapt the curricula. The department is the one who developed the curricula.
Ms. Hendricks?
Okay, what has happened is that over the years, The community, including the board, has become concerned about curriculum and instruction. And the Policies, Rules, and Regulations Committee for the Board of Education adopted a policy called Curriculum Development and Implementation. This was done, I believe, in 2022. And what that asked the board, what that asked the Department of Education to do is provide the curriculum that's recommended for our students and our teachers on a three-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
So every 3 years, the board is responsible for reviewing the curriculum. But come forward to where we are right now, Act 8717 has indicated that the Board of Education is responsible for conducting an annual assessment and evaluation of all public school curricula and instruction, and also the administration of the schools in this territory. So now there's a little meat on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
We have the direct responsibility of going into the schools and making sure that what the children are asked to do and what they're supposed to do or know is relevant, and it's also apparent to the board and the community. So the board has developed a curricula and instruction checklist. And we are going to implement that this fall for the 2024-2025 school year. And it has five sections. And we are getting ready to pilot that just to make sure that it's working. We take out the kinks. We take out the challenges. We're getting ready in the St. Croix district and also the St. Thomas, St. John district to implement it. We're going to go into an elementary school. We're also going to go into a high school. And we are going to look for evidence and data of what our children are responsible for and what the teaching personnel is responsible for. And there's five sections to this checklist. And so with that, we will be able to bring out our findings and recommendations.
This Act 8717 is the most recent legislation?
Recent.
This is the 34th or 35th?
The 34th.
34th legislature. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. I think that's a step in the right direction. Quickly, VI history is a big issue. As a matter of fact, it was a legal issue, right, for the department. We had this discussion last week, Monday, on the table talk with Ronnie Russell, Rocky Leibold, and Doug Skoll. Not only former senators who jumped in the table talk, but they're also former educators as well, right? I worked in education, but I worked in a business office. I took care of money. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you guys got paid and payroll. But VI history, very, very important, Terrence Joseph. And the lawsuit said what? The from 2022, I think it was, with Marshall Webster and Devin Carrington, about mandating some form of Caribbean history or VI history in the Department of Education. You familiar with that?
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Is it in the curriculum right now, to your knowledge?
Somewhat, and
get closer to the mic.
The problem is, I think that we having this via history we have taught in Central High when I was teaching.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems that everybody or too many people have a different ideas
on
how to put it in and how to put that.
Yeah. So we need a meeting of the minds as it relates to how are we going to structure VI history. One of the concerns, and we're going to break, is that we got a lot of history books, but we don't have a VI history curriculum. And I know that's a lot of work because the curriculum is not easy. So we'll take a break, come back, touch on that a little bit, and then also talk more about the history of the survey, of course, the survey, and talk more about the history of the Board of Education. Be back right after this.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
And we're back here on Analyze This. We got the Board of Education in the studio, and on the line we got Miss Attorney Nandi Siku. I apologize, and Winona Hendricks and Terrence T. Joseph here in the studio. Miss Siku, I'd ask you, how long you been on the board? You part of this 2008 yes, class as well?
She answered.
No. I told you it was 16 years.
16, okay. Yes. Yeah. 16, okay. But not necessarily 2008. You've been off and on, right?
Yes.
Okay, So you got a total of six. This is your 16th year, right, in total?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. You used to work on the board before, right? You were the attorney for the board, right, back in the day?
Yes,
You remember everything.
No, no, no. It's a small territory, you know what I'm saying? And she had some battles with the board back in the day. By the way, those battles, did they prompt you to step up and want to be a member of the board? You think that was impetus?
Clearly, because, you know, even being there as the attorney, you know, I saw the issues with the structure that we just discussed. Mm-hmm. In terms of the board's responsibility. So, you know, there is always a way that you could make a difference. You know, sometimes you may not be in the position that you initially thought that you should be in, but, you know, there's always a way to make a difference. And so I was able to make that difference.
That's what you're talking about. The survey, the most recent survey focused on what? And what were the results?
The school service. We have not implemented. This is the first time that we're going to.
So you haven't conducted a survey as yet?
As yet.
It happens in 2024-25.
No.
It's happening now.
2024-25 will be the curriculum. Checklist.
Okay.
But this week coming up, March 21st through March 29th.
Okay. What, today? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we are asking the parents and the children of the Virgin Islands to share their opinions, their preferences, their needs, any feedback concerning public education with us.
How do you do? How are they doing that?
What have you made available? We have developed three surveys. It's going to be online. QR codes are being sent to schools. Those codes will be delivered tonight, will be activated tonight. And the surveys really are very simple. Again, we need the opinion of our parents and students for the board to move forward, for us to indicate what our findings and recommendations are. So we're asking simple questions of the parents, and we really need the parents and students to participate.
Mm-hmm.
They have to identify what school or schools their children are attending. They have to indicate on the survey what grade levels their children are in, whether the children are receiving any special services, IEP, English as a second language, 504 accommodations. And then we have about, for parents, it's about 14 questions.
Mm-hmm. How many questions for students? You got any questions for students?
There are students. There are two groups of students. There's a survey for the little students,
mm-hmm.
and for the smaller students or the younger students, we're using emojis.
Okay.
They have to register their preference with a heart, which says they agree, or a smiling face, which means sometimes, or a sad face, which means that it's occurring inconsistently, or the hand. Mm-hmm. Which means it's not occurring at all. So for the younger students, grades 3 to 7, some of the questions are, I feel safe and comfortable at my school.
Mm-hmm.
School work is shown and explained to me so I can complete assignments. There are only 9 questions. Number 3, I receive help and assistance if I need help or have special needs. Number 4, notes and communication between my parents, guardians are frequent. Number 5, I know the rules about uniforms, behavior, bullying, and how to get help. 6, they're in school and after school programs, which are readily available. Number 7, school staff care about me. I feel as though my voice is heard by others, including peers, teachers, administrators. Number 8, my school values diversity of student backgrounds. And number 9, school staff create an environment that helps students learn. And at the end of that, there's a box where students can write any other information that was not covered in the survey. And we ask if their school program is agreeable with them. Do they find it meets their overall needs, etc.? So there's, like I said, 3 different surveys. The older students get a little bit more
questions. So this is just for students and parents?
Students and parents.
This is not for teachers and all that stuff?
No.
Are you going to solve it for them at some point down the road?
We are going to, you know, well, that's a great idea. Maybe next year.
You're on a great show. So you're going to get great ideas.
You get great ideas coming forward. So I have to bring that to the members of my committee.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, they're listening now. So hopefully that could be implemented. Now, I got a question here from one of my listeners. When I went to St. Dunstan's, I played all the sports. We didn't have a lot of students, so, you know, we had to participate. Here's a complaint. Yesterday, the St. Croix Interscholastic Athletic Association abruptly canceled the elementary, middle school, and JV soccer season. No, I know middle school and JV tend to be the same, so I don't know if it's varsity. Mm-hmm. And St. Croix, for reasons that are not clear, but apparently related to insufficient time remaining in the school year. Varsity will have a season. How does the Board of Education relate to oversight of interscholastic sports? There are many disappointed student athletes and their families. Terrence.
Yeah, I kind of a little confused of what is being
mm-hmm.
said or being attacked on
mm-hmm.
what should be done. But I find it difficult to accept that we are in a closed season. What's the reason for it? Is it a health reason? Something is wrong? I find we have enough sports facilities on St. Croix.
In particular, right now, when we are growing up, and I'm going to chime in here, you know, in the Virgin Islands, basketball, baseball, right? But that ain't the case no more.
Right.
Soccer is the sport mm-hmm. of choice.
Yes.
Everybody loves soccer. Girls in particular, right? They excel. You know, this is something that is not overly physical game, so you know what I'm saying?
My great nephew,
yes,
came from. I went to Valencia in
yeah.
in Spain.
Yeah,
for,
you know what I'm saying? So that's unfortunate. So if you could look into that, see if they could find some way
to revive that.
In order for us to, you know, remain objective and get all the facts,
I understand that.
That person needs that text you. That person needs, if it's a complaint, send it forward to the board, and the board has within 30 days to try to come up with some sort of response.
Yeah.
We are quasi-judicial. We do student complaints and hearings, and we're going to be involved in one of those this afternoon.
But student athlete, you know, people look at that term as if, well, that means that somebody who learning the lesson of play sports ain't just limited to that. Opportunities are available if a student athlete is excelling, where they could actually get educated because they're an athlete.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? At a higher level.
That's
you follow
correct.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's not take this for granted.
I'm simply saying.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm not responding to you. I'm speaking in general.
Yeah, right? Just send the information forward so we have the whole
picture. This is for all sports that we play in the territory, by the way. This just happens to be for soccer.
Right.
And
I'm going to pitch in the odds because.
Of course.
Yesterday, like Terrence told you, we heard that Mr. Joseph Griot won the spelling bee. That's a way of him
Bringing out his talent. That's another one again there.
Yesterday, you know what I'm
saying? And by the way, your board chair just text me. The letter must be notarized as well, right? When you send the complaint,
yes.
The complaint letter must be notarized. In other words, don't just send in something willy nilly because the board has a responsibility to take action on something that's legitimate.
Right.
Okay. Now,
who you said just sent you that information?
The board chairman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Board chairman. Yeah, he's been on the show before, and we have a good relationship. So he texted me and let me know to let the Paulson know when they're sending the letter, as per suggested by board member Hendricks. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's notarized, right? And to me, that protects everybody, and that's a good thing. Now, you mentioned earlier that. I think it was Member Siku that you think the department is the biggest department in government. It is. You know, about it. It's actually like a quasi-government, right? At one point, back in the day, I don't think it's the case now, Department of Education's budget was over $200 million within a $700 million budget. That's a significant amount. That's almost 30%, right? So that speaks to the importance of education here in the territory. My biggest gripe, right, or biggest concern is literacy. We need literacy levels to get at the highest levels, right? And our libraries, to me, can play a part in that. I know everybody loves the cell phone, but the library serves such an important role for all of us before the advent of cell phone and where everybody could do everything on their phone. Department of Planning and Natural Resources is the agency that's responsible for our libraries. Is the board looking at communicating with them and reaching out? I know I had a board of education, but other agencies are very critical as well.
I spoke with, as a matter of fact, the past couple of years, we have been wondering what you're doing.
The commissioner has said that the contracts are out. They're ready to, I think they got ribbon cutting going on today.
Today,
I think,
right. 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, Florence Williams.
I'm tired of something I'm hearing. This didn't haven't been done. It's too long for us to be there. The library has been dead for a while, and we're happy that it's going to come back to life.
That's good. That's good.
And not only over there, but in St. Thomas.
Yeah, are you struggling as well, right?
Yeah, there are no libraries. But then even going back to what you're saying with, you know, the importance of education, because when we look where you put your money is where the importance is for you. And even though that department has a large budget, a lot of it has to do, you know, with the administration, you know. So a lot of the money is not necessarily trickling down per pupil. You usually have a per pupil cost, you know, for the education. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where you put your money, it shows where the importance is. But we're struggling over here because, you know, the Enid Barr Library has been closed. Mm-hmm. And then now the Turnbull Library, too, is really not functional because of, you know, various issues. So the literacy
we're actually going through our rear window where the library opens in January, opens in Damas. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And we don't want that. We don't want that. You know, we want all our libraries to be open and functioning because they serve a tremendous purpose. They're a repository for a lot of information, and we need to make sure that infrastructure is there. You know, great conversations, time to run fast, which means that the next time I make an appearance, it's going to go a bit longer because there's so many things associated with not just the Board of Education, but education.
Absolutely.
And how critical it is. So when we set up the follow-up discussion sometime in April, right?
After the results of the survey.
And the results of the survey, right? Yeah. We'll get you back on. I'll make sure Kaiser, Dr. Carwood from the capital, since one of your members said they wanted to let me know that they come from the capital. Along with my good friend, Ira Lockhart, we didn't serve together, but former Senator Judy Gomez, Emanuela Perez Casillas, for Wang Papo, a kind of teaser, you know what I mean? And Shauna Richards, of course, she's actually part of the WTJX family. She hosts the bookcase.
That's correct.
You know, so we know everybody. You know what I'm saying? So we need maximum togetherness, collective purpose, right? And more importantly, the will to make some decisions that'll benefit us going forward.
Things take too long for us to get it.
There's a disconnect.
The Virgin Islands have some of the most, it's number one in education,
Well, actually, I had Malik Siku on last week. And we talk about this all the time on the table talk. Oh. Historically, the Virgin Islands has had per capita the greatest influence on hemispherical existence. When you talk about going back to the Hamilton days, Edward Wilmot Blyden, the Terence Todmans, the list goes on in the areas that we have influenced public policy. What have you, and we need to be proud of that. And I think that's our biggest problem.
You remember Darwin King?
Of course.
His, one of his uncles went to Dominica because he had the expertise.
Darwin King for Youth Commission. The Commission on Youth, Commission on Youth and all that good stuff. So our influence runs deep. You know, Hubert Harrison. Great orator, up in the mainland, Pan-Africanism.
From Frederickson, who was in the Guyana Minister of Health, she was Minister of Health in Guyana.
Oh, yes, the name escapes me now, it goes on, it goes on and on. So I want to thank you three members, I want to thank the board. Remember the survey results, we'll get that back. Well, today's the 20th, so we'll get you back here in about a month. Okay, is that good? Somewhere around the middle of April. We get the results for the survey, and I know we're good.
But the important thing is the parents somehow.
Yeah. You know something? Don't go nowhere.
The community is saying.
I ain't gonna run. We got Christian Hospitality, right? Don't go nowhere. When we come back for the 9 o'clock break, I'll excuse you formally at that point. Okay, so we'll take a break right after this. Be right back.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Ah, sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist, I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.